Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya ibn Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi rahman ar-rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة, that he who recites salat upon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now previously we heard about, sadly, the unfortunate events about the year of sorrow. Yes, عام الحزن, the year of sadness, the year of sorrow, in which one Abu Talib, and secondly, and more importantly, no doubt, Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother to the children of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them with one exception, Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu anha, but otherwise Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was also a noble lady of Makkah al-Mukarrama, a very, very, in fact, so noble that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to her brilliance, her steadfastness of faith and her support for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam informs the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and instructs the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give salam from the Lord, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give her a salam. So subhanAllah, imagine her rank, imagine her greatness, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And I pray that those who have passed away from our family, whether it be a mother of ours, whether it be any other female mu'min, believer, may Allah ta'ala grant them a place with Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra in Jannah, inshallah, wa azza wa jal. My dear viewers, that's the previous episode. We learned a little and we heard about Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, when these, and there's only a matter of days, some scholars have stated, there's only a matter of a number of days between the death of Abu Talib and the passing away of Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Abu Talib had passed away, Abu Talib was the one who was, because he was a leader, yes, and so Abu Talib was the one to give protection to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And so upon the passing of Abu Talib, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam no longer had his protection. So if somebody was to kill, to attempt to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those same repercussions, the worldly ones, meaning the tribes going to war, the Banu Hashim going to war against that other tribe, it may not happen. And this is where we have the next significant event, very, very important event in the seerah, in the biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the story of Ta'if. That's what we shall be hearing today, inshallah azza wa jal. So it's said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? He no longer had protection within Makkah al-Mukarramah. He comes out towards Ta'if to spread the religion in Ta'if. Now it's said that in Ta'if, and in fact there's a hadith sharif, a beautiful hadith sharif which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. Sayyidah Aisha radhiallahu anha, she states that she said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَيْكَ يَوْمٌ كَانَ أَشَّدَّ مِنْ يَوْمِ أُحُدٍ. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that, this is later. Yes, the Sayyidah Aisha is speaking, reminiscing, yes, speaking about the past. Say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has there ever been a day which was more severe, which was harder than the day of Uhud? On the day of Uhud, meaning the battle of Uhud, Sayyidah Aisha radhiallahu anha, she asked, she knows that the day of Uhud was a very, very difficult day. So she asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, was it a more difficult day for you than the day of Uhud? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, yeah, there are many things, you know, I received from your people, O Aisha. You know, many things, I experienced many, many things. But the most difficult of those things which I had experienced at the hands of your people, O Aisha, is the day of Aqaba. And this is what, or when I placed, or when I went and visited, that is, Ibn Abdi Yalil, when I went to visit him, فَلَمْ يُجِبْنِي إِلَى مَا أَرَدْتُ. And he did not answer me, etc., etc. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions this story. So what exactly happened? This is that story about which it has been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself states, this was more difficult upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, even than the incident of the battle of Uhud. Allahu Akbar. It must have been very, very difficult for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So after the passing away of Abu Talib and the beloved wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Khadija radhiallahu ta'ala anha, not too long later, it stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to Ta'if, and in Ta'if there was a Banu Thaqif. Yes, where you had the Banu Thaqif tribe. Now, the Banu Thaqif tribe, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought the message of Islam to them. Yes, and some of the scholars have actually stated that they were also his maternal relatives. They were relatives of his mother. So he invites them, some say he first invites all of the nobles. He invites different nobles to Islam individually. One at a time, going to one person, then going to another person, going to another person, with a hope that, you know, maybe somebody will, you know, react positively. But it said that none of them responded. None of them had responded positively, neither to accept Islam, nor to provide any other support or assistance to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So it said that he then approaches the actual leaders of the Banu Thaqif. Now, who exactly were the leaders? There's a slight difference, but some state that there were these three brothers, and all three brothers would share in leading Ta'if from the Banu Thaqif. There was one who was Ibn Abdi Yalil. This was one. The second was Mas'ud, and the third was Habib. These three, that is, and some have stated that they're sons of Amr ibn al-Awf. Wallahu a'lam bisawab. So now, these three brothers, whatever they may have been, were the leaders, and some say that they would take turns in being the leaders. These were the nobles and the leaders of Thaqif. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he approaches all three of these together, some would say. So they sit down, they sit together. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he invites them towards Islam. He tells them, yes, I am a prophet. He says, I am a prophet, I am the last and final prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is inviting them to Islam. They have this sense of pride in them, meaning you are not a leader of your people. He is a noble, no doubt about it. No doubt the Prophet is of a pure lineage. No doubt he is a nobleman. Yes, he is known as As-Sadiq, he is known as Al-Amin. But they're saying that, you know, from amongst the leaders should be chosen. You know, it's stated that some of them said, and it's mentioned within the Quran, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرِيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. That, you know, why was this not sent to a great person from amongst these two qariyas? Makkah al-Mukarramah as well as Ta'if. So Ta'if is inexplicitly mentioned within the glorious Quran. Another one, he replies and he says, did God, mazallah, astaghfirullah, did Allah not find anyone other than you to send? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And the third person, he says, by Allah, what he says, by Allah, I'm never going to speak to you. He says, I'm never going to speak to you. Because if you are the messenger of Allah, then you're too great, you're too significant for me to respond to. And if you are lying about Allah, then it's not really appropriate for me to talk to you, is it? So he said, I'm not even going to bother talking to you. Allahu Akbar. This is in a way mocking the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens is these people, they go and tell others. And how do they tell others? Allahu Akbar. Firstly, what we must understand is there were three individuals. About the first, is not certain, wallahu alam, it's not known in fact, whether or not he accepted Islam. As for Mas'ud and Habib, the scholars have stated that these two, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that these two accept Islam, and within the book Al-Isaba, it has been mentioned, and they have been counted amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. By this time, they had rejected the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had rejected Islam. The offer Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had presented to them, they did not accept this. And what did they do is, not only did they not keep the secret, they told people, but as well as that, they began to set the people against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, like, you get some hooligans, you get some thugs in every area amongst old people. You get some people who are just the lowest of the low. They have no sense of modesty or humility. They have no sense of shame. Yes, the foolish, you know, hooligans, those type of people, the thugs. This is what they did. They went to those people and they set those people, yes, and they instigated against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would yell openly at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, getting other people to mazallah, to hurt the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, it said that, what did they do? They took stones. Yes, they took stones and they began to first throw stones at the feet. Now, yes, they pelted stones at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam altogether. But pelting first at the feet, this is how they did it. First, it would be at the blessed feet of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, doing it at the feet, one is to overall do it. But one is just the feet, which makes a person what? It makes a person lift their feet. Now, it's not mentioned whether the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. But this is just complete. It's like disrespect at his peak. This is what they did. They would first throw stones at the blessed feet of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, they would line up on either side, and when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to pass between them, they would throw these stones at the blessed feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his feet became soaked in blood. They were sore, they would be hurting. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes fall to the ground, they themselves would pick him up and make him walk. Mazallah, astaghfirullah. And then continue to pelt stones at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, stand him up by his arms to make, you know, to increase the pain and to not allow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to rest. Allahu Akbar. This was what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had experienced. And some stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not take this trip alone, but along with him was Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he himself had placed himself in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had placed himself in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shielding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using his very own body to shield the stones, to protect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much so that they began to throw stones even at his face, at his head, until he himself was no longer able to protect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they continue to throw stones at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much so that his head was also bleeding. Allahu Akbar. This was the state that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bleeding. And he was bleeding so profusely And all he was doing was inviting them, worship no God but Allah. Only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, be patient, be forgiving, be generous, be kind to others. This is all he was doing. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bleeding so much that he was not aware of his surroundings. It's mentioned within Sahih Bukhari that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states that فَانْتَلَقْتُ وَأَنَا مَهْمُومٌ عَلَى وَجْهِ. Upon the wajh, the blessed face of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also wounded. And then he states, فَلَمْ أَسْتَفِقْ إِلَّا وَأَنَا بِقَرْنِ الثَّعَالِبِ. And then, you know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was unaware, meaning he was bleeding so much that he was even unaware of his surroundings, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until he came to a place known as قَرْنُ الثَّعَالِبِ. And this قرن الثعالب, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reaches his place, he says, فَرَفَعْتُ رَأْسِ. And then he raised his head. And إِذَا أَنَا بِسَحَابَ. And then he sees a cloud above his blessed head, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. قَدْ أَظَلَّتْنِي. And this cloud is granted shade to the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of all creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. فَنَذَرْتُ فَإِذَا فِيهَا جِبْرِيلُ فَنَادَانِي فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ سَمِعَ قَوْلَ قَوْمِكَ لَكَ وَمَا رَدُّوا عَلَيْكَ. And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he raises his head, he sees Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he sees, now this was Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, not in his own form. Yes, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyidina Jibreel in his own form twice. One was as we spoke earlier, and the second was on the night of Mi'raj. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab. When he sees Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, and he said to me, meaning to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in Allah qad sami'a qawla qawmika lak. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is all seeing, is all hearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard what those people had said to you. He has heard this. وَمَا رَدُّوا عَلَيْكَ. And how they reacted to yourself, how they sent you away. وَقَدْ بَعَثَ إِلَيْكَ مَلَكَ الْجِبَالِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to you the angel of the mountains. Allahu Akbar. لِتَأْمُرَهُ بِمَا شِئْتَ فِيهِمْ. So you can order the angel whatever you wish pertaining to them, to do whatever you wish the angel will do to them. Allahu Akbar. And then what happens? فَنَادَانِي مَلَكُ الْجِبَالِ. And then the angel, he speaks to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيَّ. He gives salam. ثُمَّ قَالْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. And then he says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنْ شِئْتَ أَنْ أُطْبِقَ عَلَيْهِ مِلْ أَخْ شَبَيْنِ. If you wish, I can bring these true mountains to crush this nation. Allahu Akbar. This, if you wish, this is what I could do. And فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَلْ أَرْجُوا أَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ. But the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what does he say? He says, بَلْ. He says, rather, I have this hope, I have this wish in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make from their children those people who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will not associate any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now from this, my dear viewers, Allahu Akbar, this itself is just so profound that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the option where the angel says, if you wish, it'll swallow them. Yes, between these two mountains. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so forgiving, so kind, so affectionate, that even those people who had stoned him to such an extent, that caused him such pain, which he says is the most difficult day. Allahu Akbar, even more than Uhud. Yet this was even more difficult. Yet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, what does he do? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, he forgives those people. That is so beautiful, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel. This was the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We only have a few moments left. Then what happens is, And no doubt those people later come towards Islam, which we shall hear about in the future. But it's stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes by a garden, possibly owned by Utbah and Shayba. Yes, by Utbah and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, or Ibn Rabi'ah, the two sons of Rabi'ah. Now Utbah and Shayba were amongst the leaders whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also cursed, or amongst the greatest enemies of Islam. Now some have said that this was theirs, or it was very close to them, that they say that this is their garden. But majority of the scholars say it was their very own garden. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come as he was walking, and then he sat beneath a tree. And due to that pride, that kinship that they had, where they're from the Banu Abd Manaf, also related to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's also that pride, isn't there? And they think, you know, those the Banu Thaqif, what have they done to the Banu Abd Manaf? You know, this is a person who's also, you know, from the same tribe, from the Quraysh. Yes, he's also from the Quraysh, and this is how they've harmed him. So they felt a little guilt that him being their kinsman, you know, him being a part of, you know, having that kinship that is with him, being a fellow tribesman, that they should do something. So they had a slave by the name of Addas. And this Addas was a Christian slave, one of the followers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, a follow of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam too. And he said that they sent him with a cluster of grapes. And Addas, he places this cluster of grapes on a platter, and he's commanded to take this cluster to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he takes his grapes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From here we learn that eating grapes is one of, you could say, a sunnah, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate grapes too, subhanallah. And he brings these grapes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and offers the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a grape, he says Bismillah, and then he eats this grape, and Addas is looking at him astonished, and he says that by Allah, I've never not seen anybody from this nation, from these people. This was a slave. He said, I've never seen anybody from this nation, from these people, ever say this. This is not what these people say. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, you know, which land are you from? Where is it that you're from? You know, what is your religion? Who are your people? And Sayyidina Addas radhiyallahu anhu, he says, I mean, a follower of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, I am a Christian from Nineveh. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that, what, Nineveh? Nineveh is a place which is opposite Mosul, that is. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, what, you're from Nineveh? Nineveh is a land of the people of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of Jonah, it said in English. And then again, this person is now Yunus, the son of Matta. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Jonas, who is the son of Matta, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Addas radhiyallahu anhu, he says that, how do you know about him? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, he's my brother. And he also is a prophet. And I too am a prophet. He's a prophet like I am. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Addas takes the hands and kisses the blessed hands, and even kisses the blessed feet of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some scholars that he immediately says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, meaning that you are the Messenger of Allah, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he accepts Islam. Allahu Akbar. Utbah and Rabi'ah, they are astonished. What's happening here? That we send you to go and give grace, and this is what you've done. He's ruined you. And you're going and you're kissing his hands, you're kissing his feet. He replies, he says, there is nothing, there is nobody better on this earth than that person who is sitting below the tree. He has told me and informed me about something only a prophet of Allah can tell me about. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Addas, he later accepts Islam. Inshallah, we shall hear maybe a little more of him later, although he does later disappear from the seerah. But our time is up. That's all for today. My dear viewers, follow us next time for more of the seerah, the biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the footsteps of the Prophet. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.